welcome to our weekly broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. We are continuing our series called Hard Questions, Solid Answers. This is a series of questions you have asked Pastor Dave throughout his years of ministry. Today's teaching is a continuation of the topic on false teachers. So let's listen in now as Pastor Dave continues answering this hard question with a solid answer.
Let the beauty where you stand.
We're going to play another tape here in a moment. The reason why I'm showing you this is because this is exactly what is in the church of some churches that are experiencing right now. When I go on the web and I download certain things that are going on, let's say at Bethel Church in Redding, California. If you don't know who they are, some of you might be going, "What? No way, because great worship has come out of there." And I agree, great worship has. But there's something else very strange going on in that church. And the pastor's name is Bill Johnson. And he has these fire tunnels that people run through, and they start doing these kriya manifestations. They start shaking like crazy. They start shaking their heads, and they start doing exactly what is being said right here. We're going to see here in a moment when it comes to this spirit of drunkenness. We're going to see that this is what happened when Rodney Howard Brown came from South Africa. He comes to Toronto, Canada, and he has this outpouring known as the Toronto Blessing. Other people come, and they get this spark to be able to take to other churches. He goes to where Kenneth Copeland is and lays hands on him, and you're going to see, I think it's in this next tape, right? Where all of a sudden it points to Kenneth Copeland, and he starts babbling like an idiot, but he's supposedly just drunk and he can't form words. And so let's show that one.
I first heard about this man, Rodney Howard Brown, in about 1993-94. He was holding huge meetings in the United States, very popular, and was starting to have a huge influence with his drunkenness. He called himself the Holy Ghost bartender, and he would lay hands on people, imparting to them this laughter, or he would wave his hands at people and this laughter would overcome them, or shaking or uncontrollable jerking. All these manifestations were starting to happen, and he became huge in the word of faith because he's a huge prosperity preacher. So he got himself on Kenneth Copeland's television program, and you can see them behaving drunkenly on stage, live on television. Here's Rodney Howard Brown imparting this spirit of drunkenness and laughter into some of the biggest leaders in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the biggest word of faith prosperity teachers. A guy called Randy Clark came down, saw what was happening, got this impartation through the laying on of hands, got this anointing himself, and he took it into the Vineyard movement. Now here is Todd Bentley explaining how Randy Clark brought this in.
He received a spark of the anointing in Tulsa and in Lakeland, came down. And just weeks later, God used him as the fire starter for the Toronto outpouring and the Toronto blessing in January 1994. And we have here tonight Randy Clark. And I asked him to come out, dear Randy, because I know you're a fire starter. And you've been lighting fires all over the world.
So it entered into the Toronto Airport Vineyard Church. And so it became known as the Toronto Blessing. Went worldwide under that name, the Toronto Blessing. Everybody knew what that was about. People falling down, acting drunken, laughing hysterically, shaking uncontrollably, or jerking backwards and forwards, their head shaking back and forth. People even roaring like lions. People making animal noises. You know, this stuff had not been seen in the church. I mean, it may be in a tiny way on the fringes. This stuff had never been seen in the church on this scale before, and it invaded worldwide.
The reason why I wanted you to see that is because heresy begets heresy. You'll notice the Word of Faith movement is part of this. The guy that you saw, Todd Bentley, he's the one that started these Lakeland revivals in Florida in 2008, okay? In 2008, there were over 400 million people watching 5 days of a revival at the Lakeland Church Fellowship there. And on the internet, 400 million people were watching this for 5 days, and supposedly an incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit where they're doing all these gyrations and things like that. During that time that he was doing this outreach and this revival, he was having an affair with one of his associates, okay? The reason why I bring that up is because after that five-day supposed revival, Charismatic Magazine, everybody was saying it was the most incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this, that, and the other thing. Really? In the midst of that? And then 2 weeks later, it comes out that he's been having his affair, that he's left his wife and 3 kids. And then within a year, he marries his mistress. Charismatic Magazine comes out. It shouldn't have ended this way. You know, what he is doing is wrong, and that's great that they came out with that. But then it was Rick Joyner, Peter Wagner, Bill Johnson, all these guys of this movement raised him back up into ministry again, saying that, yes, he made a mistake, he shouldn't have done that, but he's now married to her, and he's asked for forgiveness, we need to forgive him, and so he still has that anointing, and we're raising him back up again. So much so that he's now doing these again, these revivals, Todd Bentley, and we're going to show his wife prophesying at one of his crusades.
It's discerning the times and season by getting a hope from God. Getting a hope from God to be able to see, to discern the times and the seasons that's ahead of you. And the thing about the elephant, it wasn't just an ordinary elephant, it was a wild elephant, a wild elephant. It was radical, 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 radical. And the elephant means a great impact. And I really felt like what happened in Lakeland was just a beginning. It's just an introductory. It's just an introduction. Just a table of content of what's to come. And I felt like the great impact is greater, greater, greater. It's the great impact. And the greatest impact that you can have.
Why don't you go to 1 Timothy chapter 4? What kind of spirit do you think she was in contact with there? I mean, it's a dead giveaway when you first start off going, I don't know. I'm just thinking a serpent of some sort? Demon? Wow. Okay. And so she's now speaking at these revivals. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, what does it say there? Verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. She's nothing but demon-possessed. This is a possession that's going on. These are people that somehow are deceived into thinking they're doing something for the Lord, and they're not. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. That somehow, because it's all about feeling, has nothing to do with what the Word of God says. They're not studying the Word of God. They're not submitting themselves to what the Word of God says. Instead, they're going by a feeling. They see with somebody else and they're feeling this vibe and they want it too. And it's emotionalism is what it is. And it gives rise to deceiving spirits. In 1 John 4:1, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world." Go to Acts chapter 1. When we get in the book of Acts here in the next couple weeks, it's like, this is so crazy how people can use this and say, in verse 8 it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then when it does, you're going to be a stinking freak." It does not say that. And you shall be witnesses to me. That's the power of the Holy Spirit upon you. When the Holy Spirit is upon you, you are saying things for the witness of Jesus Christ. He's bringing to remembrance to your mind scripture that you're going, man, I don't know where that came from. Oh, man, Lord, thank you so much. I experience this just about every Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock. I cry out to God, Lord, give me wisdom when people call in and ask questions. And then when all of a sudden he leads me to scripture, I know that's the Holy Spirit upon me to be a witness for him. All of a sudden he'll bring to remembrance something. Oh man, I totally forgot that was there. And perfect for what it is that they need. The Holy Spirit is to make you witnesses in Judea, into Samaria, it tells us here. Not only there, but Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's kind of like you're to be a witness to people. And as we see the witness being manifest through the Holy Spirit, what do? They always give testimony. They're always giving the word of God. They're not shaking their heads saying, and there's an elephant in the room, and the elephant is saying this. Nowhere do you see that in the word of God. That they fall over, that they start barking like animals. Now, in 1994, when the Toronto Blessing came with Rodney Howard Brown, it was a big deal, even within all the churches knew something was going on up there. We weren't sure exactly what it was. Some guy came down into San Diego about 4 months after it hit Toronto. And I had some people from another fellowship that kept coming up to me and saying, he's putting his hands on, he's telling people are getting anointed, they're prophesying, just crazy things are going on. It's the Holy Spirit. You want more of the Holy Spirit, don't you? I'm going, I don't know. I don't really know much about this. I was a young minister at the time. I didn't really know what to think about it. And so they talked me into going, and I went. And I prayed beforehand saying, Lord, I don't want to ever hinder whatever it is you want me to do in my life. And so if there's more of you that I can experience or that I don't know about, I'm open for that. But if this isn't from you, would you please show me that? As a young believer, young minister, I knew enough wisdom, at least pray that, you know? So I go in there. And they say, we really want to focus in on the Holy Spirit. Later on, I realize that's always a red flag. Anytime you're saying, we're going to focus in the Holy Spirit right now, you know why? Because when you do a study in the Holy Spirit, you don't focus in on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to lead and guide you to the person of Jesus Christ. That's what he does. I want you to go to John 14. Look what it says here. In verse 15, he says this, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he may abide with you forever. Guess who he is? The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you will know him, and he will dwell within you and will be in you. Those are the two out of the three experiences you get of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is with everyone, but when you receive Jesus, he's then in you, okay? I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Now go over here to chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness of judgment. What's the sin? Verse 9, of sin, because they do not believe in me. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's trying to get people to believe in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what he's trying to do. And then it says, of righteousness, I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority. He's not bringing attention to himself. And whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, it says, Jesus. He will take what is mine and declare it to you, All things the Father have are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. What is he there to do? To declare Jesus. He's going to talk about Jesus. He's going to lead you in truth. He's going to be able to speak to you from the word. But he will take what is Jesus and declare it to you. He doesn't bring attention to himself. Every one of these meetings, it's focused in. So they said, focus in on the Holy Spirit. I didn't really know that at the time. I just going, all right, you know. Hey, and if you're a pastor somewhere or in leadership, could you come to the Ford? I did. I got up there with about 20 other people. There's probably maybe about 200 people in the room or so. So I got up there. I recognized one of the other ministers from another fellowship and things like that. And we're going to start praying right now. And the guy's playing some music in the background. And I want all you guys to be praying as well. The Holy Spirit is in this place right now. And he starts praying and praying and praying. And little did I know, but there are people that are behind him. And next to other people, a guy came up to me and he's putting hands on my head. And he says, okay, I want you to put your hands up like this. So I do. And I'm just kind of, okay, Lord, if this is you, you know, this is great. If not, please show me. That's what all I'm praying. And people are just dropping left and right, rolling, laughing hysterically, barking like a dog. The guy's saying, you're not doing it right. You need to lean back a little bit more. And I'm going, I don't need to lean back at all. You know, I mean, going, and I'm looking around, I'm going, and I just felt this peace from the Lord just saying, get out of there. And so I go to get out of there, and I'm going, Lord, you're going to need to make a path because, and I'm doing this. I'm like, stepping over a guy here and this like this. And so I finally make my way around and I go out the back and I have these people come after me and they just say, well, how come you didn't go down? I said, look, I got to tell you something right now. I know I haven't been a minister very long, but I'm here to tell you something. I know of the Holy Spirit and that ain't him. There's a spirit in there, but that's not the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't make you a babbling freak. Like you see here, barking like dogs, laughing uncontrollably, rolling around, shaking your head, going, and then talking about elephants. That's not from God. That's a false spirit. And the Lord rebuke every teacher that is bringing that into their churches. It's wrong. It's wrong. Now, from this come these other guys. Show the one on John Crowder, not David Crowder. Good guy, David.
And then you expect me to get up and say coherent words later, afterwards. Oh, Jesus. Oh, dear Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oi, oi, oi. Yes, Lord. I've learned a quick prayer. I'll teach it to all you really quickly. Okie dokie, Lord. Okie dokie. Lord, I love your heavy, drunken glory. Lord, I love it. Lord, thank you, Father, for more of a heavy, weighty, drunken glory in this house today. That's my favorite little bit of you, Jesus. Oy, 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 is the bliss, is the joy. Oy, oy, oy. You know, Isaiah 35, it says, you will be overtaken by joy. That means taken over by joy. That means possessed by joy. Oy, oy.
He's a dork. And I'm here to tell you that's not even close to how lewd he gets. As he takes out of his pocket nothing, but he starts smoking the Holy Ghost, the toke of the Holy Ghost, and pass it around, and people are passing around nothing, go, and then they start laughing uncontrollably and stuff like that. Not to mention, I mentioned, I think last week, he has a couple of home videos. Those are nice. Where he just shows himself with his hands out like this, rolling on the ground, sucking the breast milk of glory from the Lord. Just outlandish stuff. He has a conference called Slosh Fest. Very popular. Always sold out. Hundreds, usually college age students, come to it for this drunken glory of another spirit. coming from all this movement that we saw here tonight. I asked myself, where's the discernment with this? Where's the discernment with this? I sometimes wonder, as people are going through this, I'm going, there's no discernment whatsoever. I want you to go to Philippians 1, verse 9. Look what Paul prayed for here. And he's talking about how wonderful they are. He's saying, I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete in the day of Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he says, for God is my witness, verse 8, how greatly I long for you, all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, and that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Where's the discernment? Where's the discerningness of going, gosh, is this of the Lord or not? I guess there's one way I could find out. I could read his word and see if that's really part of his word. And the answer to all this is it's not. It's men's vain imaginations. And I'm telling you something here. It's very popular. And it's invading the church by storm. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. There's, I'm missing the reference here, but I believe it's in the book of Proverbs. I thought I'd written it down. Here it is. Proverbs 15:21. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment. Folly is joy to him who's destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. I just showed you a bunch of people that just lack discernment, and they look the fool, don't they? It's exactly what Proverbs 15:21 says. It lacks discernment. Now, I don't think that we have this, but the International House of Prayer, how many people have heard that before? Yeah, not good. They have fallen prey to this as well. So they have this drunken glory. They have kids giving testimonies, shaking, doing gyrations and all sorts of things during their testimonies. And you're just going, I can't believe. But then again, that was International House of Prayer in Kansas City, is part of the Kansas City Prophets. Bill Johnson and others are claiming that that feathers are falling down in their meetings. I say check for pigeons. Show me one of those feathers. Let's get it analyzed. Let's find out what kind of feather it is. They're falling down, they're seeing these glory clouds in their time of worship. Oh, do you see it right there? And you can look at video of it and you're going, no, I really don't. That you have other preachers that are speaking of the glory of God, and as they're working up this, they're starting to sweat, and all of a sudden they turn and look at you, and they have this gold glitter on them. The glory of the Lord. Do you feel the glory? Others are just, prancing around, and then they stop, and they tell everybody, look, and they have a ruby in their hand from heaven. Sometimes diamonds. It always seems to be the minister that gets it, though, If God just dropped you a ruby, can I have it? Crazy, ridiculous, undiscerning people falling prey to stupid, stupid things like that. You're playing the fool, just like it says. But those who discern are going to walk uprightly. And so that's what we're going to do here in Calvary Castle Rock. And next week, we are going to hammer the emergent church. So let's pray. We will meet in the golden city in Jerusalem. All our pain and all our tears.
We're out of time for today's Wednesday edition of Abiding in the Word. Tune in tomorrow as Pastor Dave continues the series, Hard Questions, Solid Answers. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. And for young adults, our Arise Ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.